Donkey, Part 1, by Joey Truman. If you know what motivates somebody, you know their soul. This is impossible. I am acting in good faith. I can never know what motivates anyone. If I did, it wouldn't be in good faith. You see how easily this world corrupts? The good die young, only because living makes you bad. Every minute of life is another minute of corruption. Every bad decision splintering into a million more bad decisions. This is impossible. I tell you, I'm acting in good faith. You have no choice but to believe me. This is impossible. Yet, it must be true. Otherwise, society would collapse. That is, if society is acting in good faith. This is impossible. You want to know what is impossible? I will show you. Just do me one favor. Take it in good faith. Otherwise, this too is impossible. It started like this. Chaz was eating a hot dog. Don't get me wrong, it was 10 in the morning. We were standing next to the exhaust pipe of a truck. It was cold enough that the exhaust just puffed out in a constant white poof, settling at our feet, getting caught between our legs, the tailpipe hot against my leg, little drips of water falling out the hole. I was wondering, what the fuck am I doing here? Watching Chaz eat a hot dog, standing in smoke, burning my leg, 10 in the morning outside a gas station on the outskirts of town. I backed up to get away from the exhaust, the hot pipe. I had only moved in because I could barely hear what Chaz was saying. He talked so quiet. The truck was so loud. He was moving his mouth like he was talking. It was only when I moved in that I noticed he wasn't talking. He was just eating the hot dog. He smiled at me, showed me the hot dog. Proud. Mustard. I don't know what he was proud about, the mustard or the hot dog itself. When he went back to eating, I went back to standing around. Waiting for what? I still wasn't sure. A week went by, waiting for this. A week ago, or whatever, last week. I got this phone call. "Come do this thing," he said. "In like a week," he said. It wasn't Chaz that called me. It was this other guy, Bonzo or something. Bronzo. I didn't really hear him right. He said he was friends with Chaz and needed a guy like me for this thing. Johnzer, whatever, the guy we were waiting for, while Chaz ate the hot dog and I stood around looking. Bronzer, his name was Bronzer. So, Bronzer was paying for gas, getting supplies, as he called them. Chaz was eating a hot dog at 10 in the morning, with mustard, and I was standing there looking, wondering what the fuck I was doing here. I knew Chaz a long time, since before this thing that we were doing, whatever the hell it was. I guess he was a friend. He started showing up when things started to get really bad. He always had a bunch of thoughts about stuff, which was fine, I guess. I mean, he talked real quiet, so he was easy to ignore. But when he showed up, around, he always had some work that needed doing, which is nice, things being as bad as they are. It's nice to get some work sometimes, eat some food and stuff, pay for things. This Bronzer guy, though, with his dumb phone call.
"Hey, dude, you donkey?"
"Yeah, who's this?"
"Nice, nice.
I'm..." Muted name, it sounded like Bonzo or Bronzo.
"Friends with Chaz, okay?"
"Yeah, okay."
"I got this thing. Care to help?"
500 smackers, dog." "I guess. What is it?"
"Don't you mind it, dog. Meet me at the gas station where the highway meets the highway over by the old airport next Monday at 10 in the morning. You dig?"
"Yeah, I guess." He had hung up. I called Chaz. Chaz didn't know either, which was that. Now Chaz was eating a hot dog with mustard, and I was standing around looking while Bronzer got supplies and paid for gas. Did I mention there was another guy sitting in the truck? I could see his head, that was all. The truck was a dual cab thing, kind of. It had a back seat, but you had to pull the front seat down to get in. The other guy was sitting on the side with the steering wheel. He looked like he was just looking at stuff too, stuff in front of the truck. He never moved his head. His head looked round. It looked like he was wearing a stocking cap. It was cold. I told you this before. Now do you believe me? Mid-January. The sky was bright, no wind, for once.
I could have just gotten into the truck, but I didn't want to. The other guy seemed like too much. What was I going to do, sit there and look at stuff alone, together? I will take my chances with Chaz and his hot dog, with mustard. I looked out onto the plains, the highway meeting highway. A truck passed, the windows frosted with ice. I looked over towards the old airport, no planes landing. A lousy golf course hanging adjacent. I wondered who the hell would golf at a place like that. My brain gave me no answer, which made me wonder if I even asked it a question. But that was stupid. And suddenly Bronzer showed up, carrying a hot dog and a quart of oil. He looked at Chaz and me and said, "A couple of boners. Let's roll." Chaz looked at me, smiled, licked mustard from his lip, threw the hot dog doily to the ground, walked around me, opened the door, pulled the seat down for me to get in. I got in. The other guy looked straight ahead. I didn't bother saying hello. His vibe was not very nice. Chaz pushed the seat back, slammed the door. Then just like that, I was trapped. Whatever the fuck this was, I was a part of it now. Now Bronzer was eating a hot dog, driving and eating a hot dog. I could see his eyes in the rearview mirror. He kept looking at me, then the road. Then he would take a bite of hot dog, then he would look at me. When he finished eating the hot dog, he rolled down his window and threw the paper doily out. Then he looked at me again, rolled up the window, looked at the road. After that, he didn't look at me anymore. Chaz fell asleep. I could hear him breathing, heavy. The other guy just stared straight ahead. I could see him not moving or anything out of the corner of my eye. He was wearing a stocking cap. I knew that now. I saw it when I got in. It was black, which is a good detail, right? I mean, I wasn't sure before, but now I was sure. That is a good detail, right? The highway we were on snaked around the outskirts of town. Then it went south. I knew where we were. I had no idea where we were going. The plains had very little snow. Badlands, I guess. Gusts of wind blew dust across the highway. There was quite a few antelope bouncing around. I saw a rabbit. It looked like a jackrabbit, the size of it, at least. We drove for a while. I'm not sure how long. I kind of zonked out myself for a minute. All I know is that at some point we turned left and the road got real bumpy. Then it got really bumpy. Then I was wide awake. My back was being rubbed raw by the wool seat cover. The other guy had his arm up and was holding on to a handle above the window next to him. I didn't want to look over, so I didn't. I could see this out of the corner of my eye. I reached up and grabbed the handle above the window next to me. Chaz was awake. I could tell this because he was putting a chew in. Then he said, "Oh, shit," rolled his window down, spit the chew out. I was blasted by the smell of spearmint and tobacco and very cold air. Then he rolled up his window. "Forgot a spitter," he said to no one that was listening. Bronzer looked at me in the mirror. The longer we drove, the slower we went. The road got bumpier and bumpier. It started to snow. The sagebrush became pine trees. The open plains became a corridor of trees and ruts. I started to think that this thing would take a lot longer than I had planned. I thought about the piece of meat I had thawing on the counter. I should have put it in the fridge. I mean, why did I even take it out of the freezer? I had no idea how long this thing would take. That was pretty stupid. Not only that, but it was one of the better chunks I had in the freezer. Backstrap. I was going to make a roast. Nothing to do about it now, but damn it. I made a little wish that it would thaw slower than normal, but that was stupid. I knew it was probably ruined. Even if we got back by nightfall, it would be ruined. Maybe not ruined completely, but ruined for a roast. The truck kept chugging along. At one point, Chaz and Bronzer got out to lock the hubs. When they got back in, Bronzer engaged the four-wheel drive. The snow was really coming down now. Bronzer kept shifting from first gear to second gear, then back again, all the while getting dragged into ruts, then getting the truck back out of the ruts, over and over and over. The wool seat cover rubbing me raw, jarring me back and forth and back and forth. I pulled myself up straight and adjusted my posture, holding on to the handle above the window next to me. My pants driving themselves up further into my crotch, my balls and dick smashed, the long underwear pulling themselves up out of my boots, my socks somehow sliding down into the tips of my boots, my shirts climbing up my torso. I was very uncomfortable. I wanted to take my coat off, but I didn't want to have to interact with the guy next to me. I was suddenly very hot. I was suddenly very hot, and there was nothing I could do about it. The window in the back didn't roll down, and nobody else seemed to be having the same troubles I was having. I suffered in silence. Another hour went by. It stopped snowing. The pine trees grew away into the distance. The road got better, and the truck gained some speed. Now, instead of getting sucked into the ruts, it kept sliding into the ditch that ran alongside the road. Well, not a ditch exactly, just a place where water was flowing. And now, every time this happened, the truck would hit a rock and bounce us back and forth. I would hit my head on the ceiling. I was starting to get annoyed. Where the fuck was this dude taking us? Was this thing that we were doing going to be worth the money I was getting? I mean, was I just hired to roof some guy's cabin in the middle of fucking nowhere? I doubt it. I mean, if that was the case, we would have started well before 10 in the morning. Whatever. There was nothing I could do about it now. I suffered in silence. We came to a fence with a cattle guard, a green metal gate. Chaz got out, shut the door, opened the fence, swung it back towards the truck we drove through. Bronzer put the truck in park, pulled a lever down by his left leg, got out of the truck, leaving the door open. The key reminder started ringing. Bronzer took a piss. Chaz got back in the truck, shut the door. Bronzer popped the hood, messed around for a while, came back to the driver's side, reached in and grabbed the quart of oil. Disappeared into the front of the truck again. A while went by. The empty can of oil flew off into the sagebrush by the side of the road. He slammed the hood back down, got into the truck, put the truck in drive, drove on. The hills around us were now covered in cows. Antelope mingled among them. Bronzer had to honk the horn a few times because the cows were hogging the road. The sun came out in the west behind the clouds. Where we were, it started snowing again. Don't get me wrong, but this thing was taking forever already, and now I wish I would have eaten a hot dog. Maybe got a bottle of water or something. I was thirsty and hungry, both bored and anxious. I had to piss, and now my kidneys hurt from all the bouncing around. I was starting to get mad at Chaz, and I think he had fallen asleep again, the jerk. Also, Bronzer kept looking at me in the mirror again. The other guy was the same as usual, which was also starting to get on my nerves. I noticed the check engine light come on in front of the steering wheel. I thought about the quart of oil. Like, why did Bronzer only get one quart if he had to pour it in the engine so soon after we started driving? Were we about to be stranded in the snowing mountains? It would take us forever to walk back. We would probably die. I was wearing overalls and boots, a stocking cap, same as everyone else. I think I brought gloves, but now I wasn't so sure. Man, I need to learn to ask more questions. Don't get me wrong, but all this was a pretty bonehead move on my part, and my meat thawing on the counter. We drove for about another hour. The road went back into the pine trees. No more cows. We ran into another fence. This one was made of barbed wire and wood that looked like it was found on the ground. There was a no trespassing sign on it. Chaz got out, opened it. We drove through. Chaz closed it, got back inside, and said, "Damn chilly bastard out there. Zoinks." We drove for a little while more. Then we came to a cabin. The cabin was small, rustic. There didn't seem to be anyone in it. Snow covered everything. There were no tracks, no smoke coming from the chimney. Bronzer pulled up to the front of the cabin, put the truck in park, turned it off, leaned his head against the window next to him, pulled his stocking cap down over his eyes. Soon he was breathing heavy, asleep. I said, "What the fuck?" under my breath. The other guy turned his face towards me and scowled. Don't get me wrong, but whoa, the look on his face. He was young, younger than me. I think he was Mexican, and I don't know why I thought that. He just reminded me of a guy I knew that was Mexican. Nice guy, but he spent all of his energy trying not to stab people. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think he would actually stab people. He just told me once that when I pissed him off for doing I don't even know what, I was like, "Hey man, I'm sorry I rubbed you the wrong way, but I didn't mean it." And he was like, "You have no idea how much time I spend trying not to stab people, so watch yourself, homie." He called people homie for some reason. Even though we went to school together and knew all the same people, I never figured out where he picked it up. Nobody else I knew called people homie. But this other guy, the look on his face was the same as this guy that I knew. I held up my hands instinctually, in apology. The other guy went back to looking straight ahead. Chaz fell asleep too. I could tell because he started snoring. I tried to ignore what was happening. I looked out the window. The snow was falling. The pine trees. The cabin. I, myself, tried to fall asleep, but my feet were starting to get cold. The air in the truck had dropped 20 degrees. I could see my breath. I sat on my hands. Then I zipped my coat up. Then I sat on my hands again. I just got colder and colder. There was nothing to do about it. My ears started to hurt. I pulled my stocking cap down over them more. Then I put my hands back under my legs. At this point, I was feeling really claustrophobic. There was nowhere to go. The cold air increasing. This maniac other guy just staring into the distance. Bronzer, with his glances in the mirror. Chaz and his stupid thing that he got me involved in. I thought about my meat thawing on the counter. How I could be making a roast right now. Cozy in my crappy little apartment. But instead, I was here, doing God knows what. I started to panic a little, trying to make sense of things. But then I realized that this was work. This is what work feels like. Trapped somewhere until the job gets done. And when it gets done, you get paid. Don't get me wrong, I've done enough shitty jobs in my life that this was nothing. After I had this thought, I calmed down. My toes were numb at this point. Aside from my face, the rest of me was warm enough. I wouldn't die or nothing. The windows started fogging up. Soon, with no help from myself, I was personally asleep. The sound of the truck engine starting woke me up. All of the windows were fogged up. There was a smell of hot dog farts in the cab. Bronzer turned the heat to full blast. Chaz was looking in the glove box for something. The other guy sat there, like normal, looking straight ahead. When the windows stopped being fogged up, nothing outside had changed, except there was now about a half inch of snow on the hood, slowly melting while the engine heated up. Chaz found what he was looking for, closed the glove box. We sat in silence for a while. The air got warmer. I took my hands out from under my legs, rubbed them together. Some more time went by. Bronzer looked at me in the mirror, turned the truck off, and said, "Let's go." Bronzer and Chaz got out, pulled the seats forward for me and the other guy to get out, shut the doors. I could barely stand up. My feet were needles, my toes. I stomped my boots in the snow, bent over, grabbed a handful of snow, put it in my mouth. Bronzer went to the back of the truck, grabbed a shovel, handed it to me, and said,
"Here, take this."
I took it. He marched towards the side of the cabin. Chaz started following him. I waited for the other guy to follow Chaz, but he just stood there. I got the impression he was waiting for me to move. I followed Chaz. The other guy followed me. In the back of the cabin, there was a large field. Don't get me wrong, I don't think field is the way to put it, but there was a big empty space, bigger than needed to be in the back of a cabin on top of a mountain. In the middle of the field was a cemetery with a fence around it. I counted 12 gravestones, all with the name Michael on them. Don't get me wrong, some of them said Miguel, which I think means Michael in Spanish. Some of them were crosses, some just regular gravestones. They all looked really old, leaning this way or that way. Bronzer walked straight to the cemetery. Then he held out his hand. Chaz handed him a paper. Bronzer held it up like he was cross-referencing the paper with the gravestones. He walked to the back, held the paper up again, folded it, handed it back to Chaz, looked at me, and said, "This one." I looked at him. He was really tall. I didn't notice how tall he was before, and very skinny. Don't get me wrong, I kind of made him out to be kind of chunky, I guess, maybe because of that hot dog he was eating earlier. Chaz was kind of chunky, and he too was eating a hot dog earlier, so there is that. But he was tall and skinny, and he had the same eyes that he kept looking at me in the mirror with. I mean, kind of pervy, but indifferent, like he might fuck me, then shoot me after. There was a moment of silence. Then I said, "What?"
"This one."
"This one what?"
"Start digging this grave."
Don't get me wrong, I understood what he meant. I just didn't understand what he was saying. I mean, I'd never been handed a shovel before and then asked to start digging up somebody's grave. I mean, I wasn't being obtuse or even insolent. I just couldn't adjust. And instead of just doing the stupid thing I was asked to do, I said,
"You want me to dig this grave?" "Yeah, boner. That's why I hired you. Chaz said you were good for it. He said you were a good dirt slinger. Said you had experience."
"Digging graves? You drove me all the way out here just to dig this grave?" Don't get me wrong, I'm normally not this stupid. It is just that I had all these questions about shit, and they started coming out in idiotic ways.
"Just dig," Bronzer said.
"Why couldn't you just have Chaz do it, or do it yourself, or Kevin here?"
"Who the fuck is Kevin?"
"Well, this guy." I pointed the shovel at the other guy.
"Who told you his name is Kevin? His name ain't Kevin, dog."
"Well, nobody told me. I just..."
"Just what? Name people Kevin?"
"Well, no. He just reminds me of Kevin."
"Who the fuck is Kevin? Never mind. Just dig."
"Okay. Here?"
"Chaz, your boy is a dunce. You told me he was a rockin' dude."
"Come on, Donk. Just dig."
Chaz was looking embarrassed.
"Okay. Okay."
I put the shovel through the snow. I hit frozen dirt.
"This couldn't wait until spring?"
"Donkey!"
The digging went pretty slow. Bronzer, Chaz, and the other guy stood there looking. The ground was frozen. The gravestone was a regular gravestone, one that said Miguel, which means Michael in Spanish, I think. There were no other words or information, just Miguel. Every time I dug a little, I looked up. Miguel. I would dig a little more. Miguel. This went on for quite some time. I had no idea how far I was supposed to dig. I assumed it was until I hit the coffin. But the fact that I was digging a grave in the mountains in winter and these three weirdos were watching me meant that I could be digging for anything. I got hot. I took off my coat. The snow stopped. I asked if anyone had any water. Bronzer just stared at me. I sighed, kept digging. 20 minutes, 30, 40. I was just chipping away at brown ice, it felt like, inches at a time. Don't get me wrong, I can only assume how much time went by, but this is what it felt like to me. After about an hour, it started to get dark. Then it was dark. Then I couldn't see anything. Bronzer said,
"Chaz, go get the flashlight."
Nothing doing, dog.
Why not?
There ain't one. I got some matches.
Fuck.
Bronzer brooded for a while, thinking, I guess. No moon came out. It started snowing again. I could feel it. I couldn't see it. I could kind of see the silhouette of everyone standing around the grave. I was maybe 3 feet down at this point. I leaned the shovel against the edge of the wall of the grave I just dug. Then I got myself out. Bronzer said,
"All right, fuck. Kevin, you think they'll know if we stay here the night?"
"Ha! His name is Kevin," I yelled. "Donkey, shut it," Chaz yelled back. I mean, it's either that or drive back now. And we can't leave this grave this way. I don't."
Kevin knew the people who owned the cabin. It was all coming together.
Okay, how about this? We just wait for first light in the cabin, get the goods, and get the fuck out. Nobody will know the difference, dog," Bronzer said.
"Yeah, okay," Kevin said. "We can't leave this grave this way, and we can't fix it in the dark. Maybe there's a flashlight inside, or a lantern, or something."
"Chaz, you got them matches?" Bronzer said.
"Yep."
"Lead the way," Bronzer said.
Chaz led us to the front of the cabin, with a match or two, maybe three. I won't lie to you, I can't remember how many. I just know there was no back door to go in, and getting to the front door of the cabin was a pain in the ass in the dark, even with Chaz and his matches. But we got there, which was good. The door was even unlocked. And on the way in, I noticed there was plenty of firewood on the front porch, which is a pretty good detail, considering we will probably need it, right? I have to tell you, the cabin was cold inside. Chaz went around lighting matches, trying to find a lantern or a flashlight. He found some candles. He lit a couple of them. Me and Kevin and Bronzer stood around waiting. The candles didn't throw much light. What light they did throw exposed a bare-bones cabin, with a bed, a stove, a cupboard, not much else. Kevin went outside and fumbled around in the dark for a while, came back in with some chopped wood, tried to make a fire in the stove. There was no kindling, no axe to make any kindling. He took one of the candles and roamed around the cabin looking for stuff to burn. There was nothing. Bronzer took the other candle and said he would look in the truck. He left for a second and then came right back inside. The candle had burned out. He lit the candle again, off the candle Kevin was holding. He said to me, in my direction,
"Donkey, go out to the truck, see if you can find some paper."
I went outside. It was dark as shit. I couldn't see anything. The sky was cloudy, I guess, or there was no moon, or something. I stumbled towards what I thought was the truck. It was. I tried to open the door. The door was locked. I fished around in the bed, hoping to find something to burn. There was nothing but empty cans. I stumbled back to the cabin. I went inside. Bronzer said,
"And?"
"The door was locked."
"Shit, fuck! That fucking
what?"
Kevin said.
"Get ready for a long night, dogs. We ain't going nowhere till the morning. Automatic locks."
"Are you serious?"
Chaz usually talked real quiet, but this was pretty loud.
"No, I'm joking. Let's get going."
"You locked the keys in the car?" Kevin said.
"No, I didn't lock the keys in the car. I locked the keys in the truck. And it wasn't my fault, those fucking automatic locks, dog."
There was a silence in the cabin. The candles took this moment to burn out. Don't get me wrong, this sounds dramatic, but that's how it happened, I swear. Outside, the wind started howling. The cabin shook a little. I zipped up my coat. I put my hands in my coat pockets.
"No way," I said. Someone said, "What is it now?"
I think it was Chaz. "Oh, nothing, just gloves," I said, as much to myself as to whoever asked me about it. I put my gloves on in the dark. I didn't know if I should just stand there or sit down or what. I kind of wanted to hop in the bed and go to sleep, wait for the morning in Snooze Town. Bronzer beat me to it.
I only know this because I heard a bed creaking. Then I heard Kevin say,
"Oh, fuck no, Bronzer, get out."
"What? I'm cold and tired."
"Yeah? Well, your dumbass locked the keys in the truck, and this is my family's cabin. The bed is mine. Get out."
I heard some more creaking, a transfer of ownership, I suppose, and that was that. I sat down, leaned against the wall closest to me, and waited. I don't know what anyone else did. There was no way to see anything. I heard some heavy breathing. My stomach growled. I thought about my meat again, just dangling there on the kitchen counter, waiting for me. The night was going to be long. I guessed it was maybe 6 in the evening. We would be in this stasis for at least 12 hours. It was reminding me of the time I took the bus from Denver to New York City, waiting in the lobby of the bus station in Chicago. Nothing to do. Nowhere to go. And if I ditched, I would be completely stranded in unknown territory, dangerous and exposed, just to sleep for a couple of hours. Forget about everything. All this waiting, 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 cold and exposed, waiting. I kept thinking that Chaz would start talking. As quiet as he was, he kind of never shut up. At one point, he did say,
"This sucks."
But when nobody responded, he kept his mouth shut. Don't get me wrong, it was a long night. The wind blowing on the outside of the cabin, rattling the windows. Mice started running around, getting confident, running over my legs, and I guess up Chaz's pant leg, because he screamed, followed by,
"One just ran up my fucking pant leg."
Luckily, it never got colder. Sadly, it never got any warmer either. I drifted off to sleep a couple of times, only to be woke up when a mouse ran across my face or tried to make a nest out of my hair. What were these mice even doing here? There was nothing to eat. Maybe they were smelling the hot dogs that Chaz and Bronzer kept letting loose out of their butts. Both of them would laugh if they let one rip. Then me and Kevin were left to suffer the consequences. Well, me for sure. I think Kevin was either asleep or just staring off into the distance like he did in the truck ride up here, lying down under a blanket, probably covered in mouse turds that he didn't know about. In the land of shitty cabin adventures, the cotted man is king, or something. I mean, the longer the night drew on, the more it was really just like waiting for the bus in Chicago. At first, I was just using that thought to entertain myself, but in the end, I felt exhausted, wondering what the fuck I was doing with my life, sitting around some useless room surrounded by assholes, wishing I was anywhere but here, knowing I would have to wait until the waiting was done, cold, bored, and hungry. I guess, though, that in Chicago, I could have gone to the snack machine and got some chips or something, maybe a coffee, but I would have had to drag my duffel bag with me, and I would lose my sweet spot, the one that wasn't next to the door so it didn't get a blast of cold wind whenever somebody would come in, which was every 20 seconds or so, and not so much in the middle of foot traffic where I would have to move every time somebody walked by dragging a wheeled suitcase behind them. I mean, I guess this time I wouldn't be swindled out of $20 when some guy asked me for a dollar to get a coffee, and for some reason I said, "All I got is a 20." And he said, "Oh, no worries, I'll bring you change." He never brought me any change. I won't lie, I was a lot stupider then. I can't say I was much smarter now. Some guy says there's some money to do this thing, come do it. And instead of asking a single question, here I am, cold as shit, waiting for dawn in some dumb cabin in the woods on some mountain in the middle of Wyoming. Aside from my pride, I think losing that $20 would be much better than this. At least I could eat some chips or something. I kept thinking about that meat on my counter, how tasty it would be right about now. Maybe I could cut it up and dredge it in flour and fry it for a while,
add some salt and pepper, eating it while standing over the stove in my warm and cozy apartment, alone, without a dick, a moron, and a maniac, two-thirds of them blowing hot dog farts in the wind when I just wanted to sleep or be left alone. Enough hours went by that I kind of forgot what was happening. I fell asleep, for real. Don't get me wrong, I must have been asleep for a while, because I could see all around the cabin when I woke up. Kevin was snug in the bed, looking quite peaceful, warm. His head was covered by the blanket he had on top of himself, his face poking out, his breath making shallow blasts of steam. Bronzer was next to the bed, somehow under some of the covers, his back to the bed frame, his ass under the bed frame. Chaz was next to the stove. He was using a log as a pillow. Next to him was a stack of newspapers and kindling. The cabin was very small. Two windows, one by the door, one on the other side looking out at the graveyard. There were shelves on the wall, a lantern, a police flashlight with an unopened package of batteries next to it. In one of the corners was a stack of wool blankets piled about 3 feet high. I got up, walked over to the blankets. I put one around my shoulders. I looked out the window toward the cemetery, the shovel poking out of the grave I was digging. The sun was coming up in that direction, which I guess was east. The clouds were gone. It looked really cold outside. The shovel had hoarfrost on the handle. I looked over at Chaz asleep by the stove, the kindling, the papers. My stomach hurt pretty good. I won't lie to you, I was hungry as a starving dog, which is pretty hungry, I think. I ached like I had a hangover, my neck. I stood there looking at everyone asleep. The blanket was nice. I bent over and got another one, draped it over my shoulders. Soon, I wasn't completely miserable, only kind of. Kevin woke up first. He looked at me like he might stab me. I backed up a little. He stood up, looked at Chaz, shook his head, kicked him. Chaz woke up a little and moved. Kevin went to work building a fire in the stove. I looked over at Bronzer. He had moved from the floor and into the bed. He was smiling. Chaz tried to sleep some more, but Kevin kicked him again and said, "Matches?" Chaz handed him the matches. There was none left, just the cover. Kevin made a face like he was about to stomp Chaz's brains out. He turned around instead and looked for something to light the fire with. He couldn't find anything. He looked at me. I shrugged. He kicked the bed. Bronzer said, "What's up, dog?" Kevin said, "Light?" Bronzer said, "In the truck." I mean, that was that. Don't get me wrong, it sucked. No fire, no tasty food, just the same old shit. Standing around waiting for shit to get shittier. Kevin got really annoyed. I watched him go out the door. Then I saw him at the gravesite I'd been digging, through the window. He shoveled the dirt I'd dug out back into the grave, did his best to make it look like we weren't there. Then he took the shovel around the side of the cabin. I saw him emerge in the front of the cabin because I was looking through the front window. He threw the shovel in the back of the truck, walked over to the front door of the cabin, grabbed a log, walked back to the truck, threw the log through the driver's side window, reached in, turned the truck on, brought the log back, put it on the pile, came inside, told me to fold the blankets, put them back, took the logs out of the stove, took them outside, put them on the wood pile, removed the paper and kindling from the stove, put the kindling with the other kindling, and said, "Okay, time to go." Chaz, Bronzer, and me went to the truck. I got in the back, so did Chaz. Bronzer got in the driver's seat. Kevin went over to the fence, opened the gate. Bronzer backed up and out. Kevin went and broke a branch of pine from a tree outside of the fence, walked back inside, went into the cabin to double-check, then came back out. Went around the back, used the branch to cover our tracks, same with the front. Walked into the woods, ditched the branch, came back, closed the gate, got in the truck,
said, "You better hope it snows before anyone comes up here."
Bronzer looked scared, but he held it together. He did a horrible job of turning around, got us stuck twice. Me and Chaz had to get out and push. Don't get me wrong, but we got the hell out of there eventually. The ride back was both hot and cold. The heat was on full blast, but the window next to Bronzer just ushered in freezing wind. Chaz got most of it, but me and Kevin got it too, as well as the noise. Nobody said anything the whole ride back. Bronzer was sitting on glass. That must have been uncomfortable. The same hours it took getting up to the cabin, it took coming back down. When Bronzer dropped me off at the gas station where we started, I couldn't believe how much better I felt. I mean, don't get me wrong, the dude was supposed to pay me money, but at this point, I didn't care. I started to walk back to my car before I stopped. It must have been about 10 in the morning. I turned around. I went into the gas station. The hot dogs were ready. I couldn't believe my luck. I got two, with mustard and everything.